Good morning. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM, and this is The Exchange. I'm your host, Alexander Gutierrez, and with us today we have two guests. USAID's Karen Palande joins us in the first segment to talk about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Alaska has some of the highest rates of domestic violence in the nation, and Karen will be talking about what to do if you or someone you know is suffering from domestic abuse. In our second segment, we'll be sitting down with Judy Reuter and talking about the connection between quilting and memory. But first, Karen. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
So just starting off, could you tell me what qualifies as domestic violence? I feel like there's a lot of misunderstanding about what is considered domestic violence and what isn't.
Mm-hmm. First of all, domestic abuse is a pattern of abusive behaviors exerted towards the other partner. It is used to exert power and control over the partner.
Can it be verbal? Does it always have to be physical?
Oh, that's the thing, too, because people usually thought of domestic violence being just the physical, but it's more than that. It constitutes verbal, emotional. There are other factors to consider, too. So the physical abuse is the one that you can easily see by the bruises and marks and all that. But what is more painful and less visible is the emotional toll and the burden that the other partner or the victim is under.
Mm-hmm. The feeling of powerlessness.
Mm-hmm. And exactly.
Could you, I guess, give me some specific examples of some instances that people might not think are domestic violence, but in fact are?
Intimidation, making the other partner afraid by using looks, actions, and gestures. You know, you could smash things, destroy property, and even abusing the pets or displaying weapons. And then there's emotional abuse, which is putting the other partner down, making the other person feel bad about themselves, calling them names, making the other party think that he or she's crazy, and playing mind games, pretty much. There's isolation. It's controlling what the other party is doing, limiting the other partner's outside involvement. There's also by means of using jealousy as a means to justify the actions. Mm-hmm. And there's minimizing, denying, and blaming, making light of the abuse, making light of the situation, and saying or denying the fact that the abuse happened, and then shifting the responsibility from the abuser to the victim by saying, if only you hadn't pushed me, if you didn't push my buttons, or saying that the other party caused the abuse. And there's also economic abuse, which is preventing the other partner to get or keep a job, making the other partner ask for money, and there's coercion and threats, pretty much manipulating the other partner to doing what he or she doesn't want to do by threatening to leave the partner or committing suicide or threatening to report to welfare or making the other partner do some illegal things.
Can you tell me a little bit more about how people who are facing abuse can kind of get over the idea that they somehow brought it upon themselves and seek out help?
Mm-hmm. 'Cause when you hear about abusive relationship, the first questions that would come into people's mind is, why wouldn't she just leave him, or why did she stay for that long? But instead, the proper question should be, why is the other partner, why is he abusing her? The victims often feel powerless in these situations because they're over time being told that this is their fault, that they push the buttons of the other partner, or they feel as if they're walking on eggshells all most of the time. And so if they're in a relationship where everything is being put to blame on them, sometimes they feel as if it is their fault. So what we do over at USAFE is we recognize the fact that that is what is happening to the victims, and then we tell them that it's not their fault. It's a choice of that person to be abusive, and it's not something like it's not something that they brought on to themselves. So that's what we try to tell the victims or the survivors.
Okay, let's say I'm aware that I have a friend in an abusive mm-hmm. relationship. I'm reluctant to really insert myself in her personal business, but I'm starting to feel concerned for her. What if you know, I came to you all with that situation, what would you recommend?
I would recommend that you express your concern for your friend, because sometimes it's hard for people to admit that there is something wrong with a relationship, or they might still love the person or with some other factors in mind. But if you express your concern for that friend of yours, or for anyone for that matter, and to let them know that whatever it is that they're going through, they're not alone, and that they can always talk to an advocate, and it's always confidential. We value confidentiality a lot. And we recognize the fact that we, since it's such a topic that's not easily discussed, that we just allow the survivors to tell us what he or she would like to tell us. And sometimes it's like peeling an onion. It's with different layers. We just let them talk and provide the services that we have for them. So as a friend, you can always tell them that they could come or they could call us if ever there's something that they want to talk about.
I guess domestic violence has gotten a lot of attention in the media this past month because of, I guess, Chris Brown's appearance at the Grammys, and he pleaded guilty a few years ago to, I guess, you know, beating up his girlfriend at the time, Rihanna. And this has kind of caused a controversy because, you know, they're both role models for kids. I guess, could you talk a little bit about how how media perceptions of domestic violence kind of affect what you all do?
I think in the media, sometimes an abusive relationship is romanticized in the media in such a way that they make it look hot. Like after the abuse, then comes the makeup sex, or then comes the patching of things up, and they make it as if it's acceptable.
And I guess what do you all do to try to sort of combat that, especially with, you know, teenagers who are, I guess, are paying more attention to this pop culture?
Right. We try to talk, and talk about it. Because the more you talk about it, the more you learn that it's not okay, that it's not acceptable, that it's not how it should be. Because we try to read more about it, research and talk, and the more you know, the more you can talk about it, the more you can say, and the more you can stop, and the more you can enlighten someone else. And then by talking, you tend to have a bulb light up in one's head and say, yeah, I never thought about that before. I didn't think about that. I thought it was something normal, and that's why we encourage people, the community members, to give us a call, to go see our references, go see the materials that we have in the shelter. It's not a scary place to be in. We know it's such a hard topic to talk about, but the more you talk about it, the less fearful or the less worried you become, because you equip yourself with the knowledge not to be in a situation like that.
And I guess, is there anything else that you would like listeners to know about domestic violence and the resources you all offer?
If ever you feel threatened, or if ever you feel unsafe with your relationship, or if you are fearful of your friend's relationship, it's time to talk about it. So feel free to give us a call. Our lines are open 24/7. You can call us at 581-1500. There would always be advocates to answer your call, and if you can always remain anonymous. We're also on Facebook, so you can look us up on Facebook. Just type in USAFE, USAFV, and like us on your Facebook so that you can see the updates that we have. We post topics there on a regular basis. We are here for the islands because we believe that everyone deserves to be safe.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us, Karen.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Karen Palande from USAFE. Next up, we'll be talking to Judy Reuter after this quick break.